Before we start every new series, we read this disclaimer. The material in these shiurim is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide any legal or halachic advice or opinion. This is not a substitute to obtain any competent halachic and legal advice from your rav and or lawyer, and consequently you should not act on the basis of these shiurim without such advice. It's on these tapes also from previous shiurim. The same thing goes on the tapes. The tapes are for informational purposes only also. So then that takes care of it for the year. Since last year, there were two unfortunate incidents that, first of all, since last year my father was Nifter, the tapes I've dedicated, Zichron Yaakov Elio, Lilo Nishmas, my father, this year also, the ones that aren't specifically sponsored, should be a schus for him. And just 2 weeks ago, we all heard and experienced the Patira Rabbi Naftali Neuberger. I mentioned to the people around here that besides all the other great things you've heard about that he did, he's probably also responsible for this year, because around 10-15 years ago he was asking me what I'm learning. I was still in Yeshiva Lane, and he said, why don't you learn Choshen Mishpat? So I thought about it, I figured it's not a bad idea, and I started learning with Rabbi Shachatovitz for a few years while I was still in Yeshiva Lane. Then I moved into town and I figured I'd start this Choshen Mishpat series, so it should be a schus for Rav Natali and Rav Meir. And with that, we'll proceed with the new series. This series is Hilchos Dayanim. We're going to talk about the laws that refer to judges and Dinei Torah, court, the way the courts work, the way testimony works. And we'll cover a lot of topics in these areas. But sometimes it's always good to start. Sometimes it's good to start in a backhanded way. And we're going to start the series with cases where we don't go to courts. We're going to start the series tonight's case, and the next few weeks we're going to be discussing when you can take the law into your own hands, when you don't have to go to a court, you don't have to go to a Din Torah at all. From that, we'll get into when it's possible, which is not very often, to use the secular system, when you can, when you can't, what's the rules of secular system, courts and arbitration, different things that are not Dinei Torah. And finally we'll get into the halachos of Dinei Torah, what makes a Bez Din, what makes a Din Torah, what's good testimony in a Din Torah, and able to prepare yourself for any case that you'll ever have. So that is the syllabus for the year. Tonight's case, once again, anyone that's not on the email list, I email every week the topic and reminders about the shiur, and if there's no shiur, I email there's no shiur. So if you're not on the list, you can sign that orange paper in front there for the shiur, and I'll put you on my email list. Tonight's case is Reuven thought or knew that Shimon had stolen his watch, and he wanted to go into Shimon's house and take it, because he knew if he just took him to a Din Torah, Shimon would deny it. He had no proof that Shimon had stolen his watch, but he knew he had done it, because however he knew, someone saw it in the house and that he trusted, and he wanted to break into the house to get back his watch without going into a Din Torah, because he knew in a Din Torah he wouldn't have a chance to prove that Shimon had the watch. Is he allowed to break into the house to get the watch? And that's the case for tonight. So this is the sugya of Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe. Alright, let's learn some Gemara. We'll learn the Gemaras behind it. Tonight we're talking about Balachas involving an alleged theft. We'll talk in future weeks about other cases where you think someone owes you money and he's not paying you. And those cases are, can you take the law into your own hands and get the money back from him that he might owe you? But tonight we're discussing a case of a theft where he stole your watch and you want to get your watch back. So there is a Gemara in Baba Kama that goes like this. It's the middle of the Gemara, but we'll pick it up over here. Shalach le Rav Chisus and Rav Nachman the following halacha. Gahul Gargusa Devetre. There was a water cistern that belonged to two people. The Chol Yoma, every day, Havidoli Chaminayu, each day, one person would have a turn to take the water from the cistern. Also Chad, Kadoli Biyoma de Lo Dile, One day it happened that one of the partners came and took water on a day that wasn't his turn. He was pushing ahead of the other person and taking 2 days in a row. Amar Lei, the partner said to him, Yom Adidehu, it's my day today. What are you doing here? Lo Ashkach Lei, the partner who was offending the partner did not listen to him, and he kept on going to get the water. So what did the victim do? Shokol Panda, he took a handle of a shovel, Demar and Panda Demar, he took the handle of a shovel, and Machia, and he hit his friendly partner with that shovel to stop him from taking the water. So the shaila was, does he have to pay damages to the person that he hit with the shovel? So Amar Lei, Rav Nachman said, back to Rav Chisda, what are you worried about whether you have to pay damages to this person who you hit with the shovel? Maya pandeva pandalim chaya. He could have hit him 100 times with that shovel. He doesn't have to pay for that. Why? Because even according to the one who holds, you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands. If you're going to suffer a loss if you don't take the law into your own hands, a person can take the law into his own hands. And over here, the assumption is, if we'll call him Shimon, goes and empties out the water from the cistern, it wasn't a well that's always filling itself up. It was a limited amount of water. And if Shimon goes and takes the water out 2 days in a row, there won't be any water left for Reuven at all. He won't be able to go to the store and buy water instead. This is the water supply. He's going to suffer a loss. So in that case, according to everyone, he's allowed to take the law into his own hands. And what do you do to take the law into your own hands in such a case? You beat up the person before he takes the water from you. That is what Rav Nachman said is the halacha. Now, where is this machlokas about whether you could take the law into your own hands? The idmar, because we have a machlokas like this. Rav Yehuda Amar, Rav Yehuda says, lo avid inish dina lanashi. A person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, avid inish dina lanashi. A person can take the law into his own hands. And the Gemara explains what we just said. Heicha di'ikah peseida. If there's going to be a lost cause if you don't take the law into your own hands, this is your chance. Like he's running out of town. If you don't stop him now, you're never going to see him again. If you're going to suffer a loss if you don't take the law into your own hands, then everyone agrees, David inish dinalanashe, that you could take the law into your own hands. Ki pligi, when did they disagree? Heicha di'ikah peseida. When there won't be any loss, he's going to be in town. So he's doing something now, you take him to a dindoro, you prove that you're right, and you'll get your property back. Rav Yudom, Rav Yudohos, Lo'ove Inish Dina Nashe. You should not take the law into your own hands. Why? They came into Lekup Seda, since you're not going to get any loss from waiting. Lazel, Kame, Dayana. Let him go before a judge. Let him go to a dindoro, and he'll win his case that way. Why should he do it on his own? But Rav Nachman says, Ovid inish dina lanashi, a person can take the law into his own hands. Kevin de Batin Ovid, because he's doing what's right. That's his watch. That's his water. Since he's doing what's right, lo torach, he doesn't have to bother himself and go to a din Torah. This is my property. You're taking it from me. I'm going to beat you up to stop you from taking it from me. And similarly, from the Gemara, even if you took it from me already, I'm going to beat you up and get it back. Right, that's the halacha. I don't leave now, but that's what the Gemara is saying, that you could beat up someone to get your property back. Gemara is akasha, masir akana. The Gemara is akasha against Rav Yehuda. There's a lot of kashas back and forth. We're going to just discuss this one this year tonight at the end. So we'll finish the Gemara here. Masir akana, Rav Akana is akasha from the Braisa. Ben Bagbag Omer. Ben Bagbag says, don't go into your neighbor's courtyard to get back your property without asking permission. Why? Because it's going to make you look like a thief, like you're sneaking in and taking back your property. It makes you look bad. What should you do? El shavar eshinok, break his teeth. The amarlo and tell him, shali no tell, I'm taking back my own property. Right? It's better to be honest up front, and that's what the Gemara Ben Bagbag says. When you're taking the law into your own hands, don't sneak in and make yourself look like you're doing something wrong. Go beat him up, take a baseball bat and break his teeth in, and take your property back. So anyway, that's Akasha on Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda said that you don't take the law into your own hands. So I'm really going to say back to Rav Kahana, Yimach, if you think that's a good kasha, then Baglag Yichidohi, then Baglag is only a minority opinion. Upligi Rabbanan Alei, the Chacham disagree, and we don't hold like Ben Baglag. Okay, so this is the machlokas we have between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, that can you take the law in your hand, into your own hands, when there's not going to be any loss, it's just going to be a little bit of a tircha, you're going to have a little inconvenience. If you're going to suffer a real loss, so then you can take the law into your own hands, and for the Gemara it's clear that you can take the law into your own hands even by physically beating up your opponent.
Does this apply to
how? No. Tonight we're talking only about something that's being stolen. We're going to talk in future weeks. Next week we'll talk about how it applies to loans. The week after we'll talk about how it applies to wages. The person's going skipping country and he's not going to pay you. Can you steal a couple computers before he leaves to make sure you get your wages? And the next week after that, the fourth week, we'll talk about someone's trying to damage you. He wedged your car in. Can you go back and forth and bang him out so you can get your car out? That's going to be the fourth year. So anyway, that's the machlokes of the Gemara. How do we paskin? It's an open shut case. Shulchan Aruch says, Simin Dalin, Halacha Aleph, Sif Aleph, we paskin like Rav Nachman. Yochol Adam Lasus Din LaAtzmo, it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, a person is allowed to take the law into his own hands. Bim Ruach Chepet Shalom, if he sees his object, Biyad Acher, in someone else's possession, Yochel Kachtam Yero, you just take it out from his hand. He doesn't have to be a nice guy and say, oh, I see he's walking away with my refrigerator. Let me break into a Din Torah, make Asmana, and then by the time it gets, by then the refrigerator will be gone. You don't have to do that. Just beat him up and take it back. Bim Acher, Omeid Kenegdo, we didn't get to beat him up yet. You could take it from his hand. If the person who's the robber is going to argue with him, he's standing up against you, then yochel ha-koso, you can beat him up, ashe yanichen, until he leaves it for you. Bafilum himidavar shembo hesed, even if it's not going to cause you any loss, im yamtim, if you wait on shem yedena b'din, if you take him to a din Torah, it's just a matter of inconvenience, you're still allowed to take the law into your own hands. Now, the Shulchan Aruch concludes with one important point, which we'll see soon. This is only talking where you could prove in court that you're taking your own object. It can't just be that, it's mine. I know it's mine. Prove it. I have no proof. I'm sorry, I don't have any proof. It has to be something that you could prove is yours in court. If you could prove that this is yours in court, so then you can do what we said here, take the law into your own hands, beat him up if he's objecting to you taking it back, and even though you're not going to have any loss by waiting. Now, what is this last point? This last point is important. The way the Mordechai puts it, I have on the handout here, the Mordechai says, later on in the Masechta, he says like this, Had the kaimel in b'haminiach, that which we paskined in haminiach, and the parak we just learned, of it inish dina lenashe, that a person can take the law into his own hands, hani mili b'chepes hamavuror v'yadua lekol, that's an object that everyone knows, shehu shalom, that's his. Avalov adavar acher, where the Mordechai is saying, that applies, if someone's walking away with your talis bag, and it says, Abba Tzvi Neiman on it, so everyone sees my name on it, and you're walking away, and they know that you're not Abba Tzvi Neiman, so then I'm allowed to beat you up, if you don't give it back to me. But if it's something that people don't generally know is mine, so then I can't take the law into my own hands. That's the way the Mordechai puts it. The Rush, though, weakens it a little bit. He broadens it, I'll say. He broadens the cases that you're allowed to take it into your own hands. It doesn't have to be that everyone knows it's readily apparent that it belongs to me. The way the Rush puts it, and this is the way we just saw in the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Nachman Sabar, Kiman de Dinah Ka'avi, Rav Nachman Ho, that since I'm doing Din, I can prove that it's mine. Yesh l'rashus l'hatzel eshaloh, I have permission to say my property. What's the difference between the two cases? The first case is, according to the Mordechai, it has to have my name emblazoned on the object that you're taking, or everyone knows that's his chauffeur, that's his car, everyone knows that's my car, what it looks like. So then, I can take the law into my own hands. But suppose it's something that not everyone knows, but I know I could prove it in court. I know that I have initials hidden on the back of my watch. Right? Not everyone knows I have that. but I know that I have it, or my bicycle has a serial number. Not everyone knows it's my bicycle, but I have a serial number on it that's scratched in there, and I can prove it. So according to the Rush, that's enough. According to the Mordechai, it has to be something that everyone knows. It's clear. Everyone knows you're taking Reuven's watch away. The Rush, though, and in Mukhe Yosef, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch puts it, says you don't have to. It doesn't have to be something that everyone knows that that's Reuven's Mickey Mouse watch. It could be a watch like any other watch. But if Reuven knows that he can prove that it's his, he has simanim on it, he knows that the dial's broken, he has his initials on it. If Reuven can prove in court that it's his, so that's the first condition that we learn, that he can take the law into his own hands and just snatch it back from Shimon. He doesn't have to wait until gets a date for a din Torah and takes him to court. He can take the law into his own hands and just snatch it back immediately. That's the case of Yochel Avari. He's able to prove it. What's as far as the Nachronim talk about the lumdas behind it? In the Pashup Shad is, and this is the way they bring for the Mukhe Yosef, that the Chachamim allow us to act as Dayanim sometimes. Right? Normally, you have to go to three Dayanim, they make it in Dora, and that's the way you have to settle disputes. But they said, if there's a case where it's going to be a big tircha, and it's clear that it's something that you know you could prove that's yours, so they say, don't bother us, don't worry about the tircha, according to Rav Nachman, just go and take the law into your own hands, take back your object, if it's something that you could clearly prove, and do it already. That's a permission, a reshus that they gave to anyone that to take this law, Ovid Inish Dina Lenashi, to take the law into his own hands. What happens if it's abused? What happens if someone said, oh, I'm taking the law into my own hands, and he really had no right to do it? So then Reuven will go, Reuven goes and takes something from Shimon. He had no right to do it. It wasn't his watch. He made a mistake. So Shimon will then have the right to go take Reuven to a din Torah and say, look what he did. He beat me up and he took my watch that I have, and I could prove it's mine, and he'll get damages from Reuven. I forgot the names. Right, but that's the protection that he has. Right? The assumption is that you're not going to make a fool of yourself if you don't really know it's yours. This is the halacha the Chachamim gave us the right to, that if you know that this object is yours, you know this is your object and he took it, and you can prove that it's yours. That's an important point. And this is, everyone agrees, you have to at least be able to prove that it's yours. According to the Mukiyos, according to the Mordechai, yeah, everyone had to know that it's yours. But you can at least prove that this object is yours, so then you have the right to take it back without having to go to a din Torah. It's halacha psuka in the Shulchan Aruch. Can let's talk about this halacha that you could beat up the person. Right, the Rush, we started reading the Rush. The Rush said, Rav Nachman, we passed like Rav Nachman, and the Rush continues, afilu b'haka, you could even take it away from him by beating him up, but he adds, im eino yochel l'hasa binyan acher, if there's no other way to save it. Right, that's what the Rush says. We'll learn in future weeks. There are Gemaras that are mashal that way, the different cases we didn't learn tonight where people took physical action against others, and the Gemara says, what's the problem? You're allowed to, but he said, no, he could have saved it without getting physical. Right, so this heter, to take it that physically, only applied when there was no other way to do it. You couldn't just pull it away from him. You had to really beat him up, but if you just, the way the Knesset Hagdolah says it, Knesset Hagdolah says, you see the person with your watch, what's your first reaction going to be? You get boiling. He stole my watch. So what are you going to do? You're going to go like call him names and beat him up. So he says, you can only beat him up, because to call him a name, that's not going to help you get your watch back. Right? Call him, unless you shock him with a name, and that's going to help drop it. But pashtus is, you call someone a name, it's just venting off steam. And generally, you're not allowed to call someone names. That's onos devarim. You can't do an isra of calling someone a name for no purpose. You're not going to get your watch back like that. You can't call him a mamzer, he says. Oh, you're such a mamzer, look what you're doing. That's aser. Just like you can't call your best friend a mamzer, you can't call this guy of a mamzer. All you can do is take away the thing that he took from you. And if he fights you, you can beat him up, punch him in the nose. And if you punching in the nose will be enough, you can you know, beat him to a pulp with over his head. Right? You give him one punch, and you grab your thing and you run. You don't have a right to kill him. Right? All you have the right is to punch him enough to get it back from you. You can't call him names. Shlosh Yaakov says you can't feel like you're taking revenge from him and letting out your steam and, oh, look what he's doing, let me just beat him up. Well, it's just a heter to take the law into your own hands, to get your object back, even through physical force, but only physical force that is necessary. So this is this rule of the physical, you can even use physical force to take it back. The caveat in that rule is you can't use more than is necessary. You can't even call him names. Knesset Gula says maybe you could call him a Rasha, because he is a Rasha. He stole something from you, so you're saying, look, you're a Rasha, you did something wrong, you can be Mochiach him. But to call him a Mamzer, that he's not a Mamzer, he's a Rasha, but there's nothing wrong with his lineage. And just call him names, you know, you're ugly nothing, you're good, that you can't do. Yeah, it's only using the force necessary to take it, that is what the Gemara allows. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that based on what the Rush says, it that you can only use what you need to get it out, that you couldn't do it in any other way. So that's the second rule. Now we've kind of limited this right that people have to take the law into their own hands to something that you are able to prove is yours. That's a little bit of a limiting factor. The Smazo says there's a way to get around that, because what's the problem? If I go snatch back the watch from Shimon and I can't prove that it's mine, so then you can't say I'm taking the law into my own hands, because the way we explained it is I'm becoming like a dayan, I'm becoming like a judge. Now, if you went to a Din Torah, and Reuven took Shimon to a Din Torah, and Reuven said, Shimon, you stole my watch, I want it back. Now, Shimon will say, it's mine, prove that it's yours. And the Dayanim would say, yeah, prove that watch that Shimon is holding is yours. Because we have a rule that Hamotzi Mechaveiro Olav Haraya, if someone has physical possession of property, it's assumed to be his, until the opponent proves that it's really his. So if you went to a Din Torah, if Reuven took Shimon to a Din Torah and he had no proof that the watch was his, right, that doesn't, you know, you could say, bring it in, I'll prove it to you. Right? And he has no proof, there's no simon on it, it's just a regular watch that everyone has. He has no simon, so then he would lose the case. So the same thing will be if he wants to take the law into his own hands and he doesn't want to go to a Din Torah. Reuven wants to just take, snatch it from Shimon. Well, it makes sense that if he has no proof that the watch is his, so he has no right to snatch it, because he's acting as a judge now. A judge would not allow you to take it from Shimon because you have no proof that it's yours. We assume it's Shimon's until you prove it's yours. So you acting as the judge on your own, you acting as your own personal judge, cannot take it unless you have a proof that it's yours. Right? That's the svara why you need to be able to at least prove that it's yours. But the Sma says there's a way out of that. Suppose you go and you snatch it from Shimon without anyone seeing you snatch it from him. So now, what happens if you went to a Din Torah? Right? We go to a Din Torah over here. Reuven is now holding the watch that he snatched from Shimon, and he says, it's my watch. And Shimon says, no, it's mine, you took it from me. And Reuven says, prove to me that I took it from you. In other words, he has a migul. He says, believe me to say that it was my watch all along, with a migul that if I wanted to lie, I could have said that I never snatched it from Shimon. But no one saw me snatch it. No one saw me pull it out of Shimon's pocket. I did it when no one was looking. I just snatched it out of his pocket. So I would once again win a Din Torah in such a case. Because now, how would the Din Torah work? Reuven and Shimon go to a Din Torah. Reuven is holding the watch now, and Shimon says, you snatched it out of my pocket. And Reuven says, you're right, I snatched it out of your pocket, but you know why? Because you stole it from me. It's really my watch all along. You stole it from me, and I was just taking back my watch. And I believe, and the Bezin will believe Reuven to say that it was his watch all along, because he has a migul, he could have said, I never snatched it. There was no witnesses that said he snatched it. He could have, so he could say, believe me, to say it was my watch all along that I snatched back from Shimon, because if I wanted to lie, I could have lied and said better, Shimon is a son of a liar. It was mine all along, and never Shimon was never here, and never touched it, and it's mine all along. So the Sma says, you have that option. If you have no proof that the watch is yours, and therefore, according to the Rosh, you're not allowed to take it away because you have, according to Shulchan Aruch, you can't prove that it's yours. You have this way out of taking it away when no one's looking, and therefore you'll be able to win the case, because you can win the case if it was a Din Torah, and therefore you have the right to take it without looking. Well, there's a just pause now to see how it applies to the case you were talking about. We were talking about snatching pockets. But suppose Reuven doesn't see Shimon on the street. He knows that Shimon had it in his desk drawer in his house. So now, does Reuven have a right to break into Shimon's house and take his watch back? Like the original case we had. Can he break in? And let's assume even when he breaks in, he smashes the window, he causes some damage to the house. Can he break into the house to take that watch back? So based on what we've been saying, you'd say, well, that's the same rules over here. If Reuven has some proof that the watch is his, he'll be able to prove in court that the watch is his, he has the right to break in. Now, what right does he have to cause damage? Well, the post can say, if you have a right to beat him up and give him a bloody nose, you have a right to break his window also, right? If that's the only way you could get in. But just like we said that you can't give him a bloody nose if that's the only way you could get it out, the only damage you could cause in the house is damage that will damage that you need to do. Once you're in the house, you can't start taking magic marker and scrawling all over the walls, because that you don't need to do to take back the object. We're talking you could do what you need to take it back, and that includes causing any damage to that is needed to get to the house. That's what we would say. Now, suppose you can't prove that it's your watch, and then we said, well, you can't take the law into your hands if you can't prove that it's your watch. Well, according to the Sma, you have this other hetzer. Do it without him looking. Do it without him looking, and then you have a migul. Right? If you sneak in, when you sneak in when there's no witnesses, if there are no witnesses around, so now you have a way out. There are no witnesses here. You'll sneak in, even if you have to break a window, and you'll take out the watch, and you win the case, because what's going to happen if he takes you to the Torah and he says, oh, you took the watch from my house, you'll say, well, I took my own watch. It was my watch. And you have to believe me to say that I'm taking my own watch from your house that you stole, because I have a migul. I could have said I never went into your house in the first place. You don't have no proof that I went into your house, and you would have a right to do that. Now, that's the way it would seem. But there's two issues with that. The first issue is like this: the Bach says, the halacha psuka brings down from the Bach that which we can rely on the Sma applies, that I'm sorry, this will help us, that which we comply in the Sma applies even when you're going to have to use force to take it back, right? So even though you can't prove it's yours, but as long as there's no witnesses, we said you're allowed to go beat him, you're allowed to go snatch it from him. And the Bach says that means you can even beat him up in such a case. The same thing in our case, we would say, just like you could beat him up to take it according to the Sma, you can also cause physical damage to the house if you need to cause that damage in order to get out the watch. You can't do more than is necessary, but whatever is necessary, you're allowed to do physical damage. But there's another issue, and that's from the end of the Gemara that we read before. Right? Remember Ben Bogbog. Ben Bogbog said, we'll forget whether it's like a Yehuda or not, Ben Bogbog said, Ati koneis l'chatzir chavercho l'itol eshalcho shalom b'shus. Make sure you don't go into your friend's courtyard to take something that's yours without permission. Shema Teira Al-Kidanis, because you know, you're going to look like a thief. Well, that sounds like what we're doing over here. We're saying, well, Shimon stole your watch. You can't prove in a Din Torah that it's yours so easily, or you know, you have a big tircha to prove it. So we said, if you can prove it, so certainly you can go in, and everyone can watch you go in, that's no problem. But we said, if you can't prove it's yours, so you have to go in quietly. So you're going in quietly. That sounds like Ben Bagbag said not to do. It said, don't sneak in. What should you do? El Shavara Shino Vem Arlo Shalin Enote. If they go in and break his teeth, then let him know that you're taking your own property. So it would seem, based on Ben Bagbag, and the Meiri Paskins this way, the Meiri on the Sugya there says, you're not allowed to sneak in to get it. You have to go out in the open to take it. It would seem that, once again, we're talking about two cases. In a case where you can prove that it's your watch, so then you have no problem. You know it's your watch. You can go in, even if witnesses see you, even if he sees you, it's no problem. Go in and take it, and you'll win. It didn't matter because you have proof that it's your watch. But suppose you have no proof that it's yours. You have to go in with and rely on the migu. So then you have to make sure you don't go in when witnesses are watching you, because then that'll ruin your case. But according to the Meiri, you have to go in when the owner's there. Or you have to go in when the owner's there, because you can't sneak in when he's not there, because that makes you look like a ganav. You have to go when he's there and give him the opportunity to oppose you, where you'll have the opportunity to break his teeth in. Right? That's the way the sugya would work according to Ben Bagbag, and that's what the Meiri paskins. So that would seem to be another condition we would have to use over here. However, the Minchas Chinuch points out that the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch don't say anything about this rule of Ben Bagbag, that you have to take it when the owner is watching you. There's no such thing in Halach and Shulchan Aruch, and Minchas Chinuch says, because we don't pass it like Ben Bagbag, the Chachamim disagree with him, and you don't have to go out in the open and take it. The Taras Chaim on the Sugya says Ben Bagbag's not even telling us Halacha, he's just telling us a Eitzah. You don't want people to think you're a thief, it looks bad for you. Do things in the open. Be upfront with people. Tell them, you stole my watch. I'm going to beat you up unless you give it back to me. That's better than sneaking around and getting it from him. So those are the different ways that we had to get around that issue. The Abia Omer says that he like combines it. He says that, we'll read it inside. I'll call upon him near the last thing on the handout. Shekol zeh ba'osa ma'isa lachter l'shus chaver l'ugna v'sachay v'shalo. We're talking, this whole issue of Ben Baglag is only talking where you're going in to take that object from him. That's where you would have to worry about Ben Baglag. Maybe that's where there might be an Eitzah Tova not to take it. We're going to talk about this in future weeks. If somehow he left the watch on the table and you go snatch it from him, like the kids in school, it happens all the time, and then someone steals his thing and he goes and takes it back. So then even according to Ben Baglag, there's no problem. It's only a problem when you've been bothered if you're going to his house, but if he leaves it around, so then certainly you're allowed to snatch it. So these achronim are all weakening Ben Bagbag's condition. According to the Meiri, it's true, you have to do it up front. You can't sneak in, as it makes you look bad. The Michas Chinuch says we don't paskin it at all, you don't have to worry about it. The Taras Chaim says it's just an Eitzah Tova. If you don't want to take that, it's good advice. Many times don't take good advice, so you don't have to take that advice either. And the Abia Omer says it only applies where you're actually breaking into someone's house, but if he's leaving it around, it doesn't apply at all. So this last condition probably would not be such a big issue. Let's sum up what we've done, just review it and have what we have, so we can be prepared for the next cases in the future weeks. We've been talking only about Gezeila, where we're limiting it to a watch that someone stole from you. You know it's your watch, and he stole your watch, and you're trying to get it back. We're not talking about other types of debt, loans, or employment, or damages. We're talking about theft tonight. If you know that's your watch that he took, this is Machlokas in the Gemara, are you allowed to snatch it back on your own without taking him to a Din Torah? Now, if he's going to run out of the town, run out of the country, and you never get it back, then everyone holds you can take the din into your own hands, you can take the law into your own hands and snatch it back from him. That's no shaila. The machlokes in the Gemara is, if it's just a matter of inconvenience, that you don't want to bother with the din Torah, you know it's your watch, and you know you'll win in the din Torah, but you don't want to bother with the months of delay and proofs and maybe expense, You just want to take it back. So there we passim like Rav Nachman, that you're allowed to take the law in your hands, even if it's just a matter of tircha. It's not going to cause you any loss to weigh. You just want to avoid the inconvenience. So in that case, also, you can take the law into your own hands. You can take back the object that he took from you. We gave one condition tonight that we're sticking with, and that condition is we're talking about an object that you would be able to prove in a Din Torah that it belongs to you. If you have no proof that this object is yours, so then you're not allowed to snatch it back without going to a Din Torah, because you're acting as a Dayan now. If three judges in a Din Torah wouldn't have awarded the watch to you because you have no proof that it's yours, you can't act as your own judge to award it to yourself because you have no proof that it's yours. That's a halacha that the Rosh Paskins, that everyone agrees with. The Sma, we learned, gives you some way out of that. The way out of that is that if you are able to get it out of his possession without any witnesses seeing you take it, so then you once again will win the case with a migu. Believe me to say that if I took back my object with a migu, that I could have said that I didn't take it from him at all. It was in my drawer all along. No witnesses saw me take it. It's my word against your word. I have it in my hand now, so therefore I win the case. That's this ma'az halacha, that it's a way around that block, condition that the Rush put in, that even though I can't prove it, if I can sneak it out without witnesses seeing me take it, so then I'm allowed to take it in that way. Do I have to let the owner know that I'm taking it, like the Meiri says, based on Ben Bagbag? So that most poskim say you don't have to worry about that factor. It's Ben Bagbag is a das yochid. He's not giving you good advice. You can choose not to take that advice, and therefore, even if you're going into his house, you don't have to wait until he gets home that he should see you're doing it. That was just Ben Bagbag's advice. You can go. We don't pass him like it necessarily. You can sneak in when you see him drive out. You can go in and take your watch. Now, can you cause damage to the house? Well, that we saw, that you're allowed to cause physical damage to the person. That's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said you beat him up 100 times to get back your object. And that applies whether it's something that you can prove is yours, or the box said even if you can't prove it's yours, but you went in without witnesses with that migu ideal. As long as you don't use excessive force, you're only using the force necessary to take the object away with nothing more, you're not calling him any names, you're not calling him names that are not necessary, you're just taking back the object with the force needed to get it out of his hands, so then you did okay, you're allowed to do that. Based on that, we said the same thing will be. If you cause only damage that is necessary to get the object out, you need to break a window to get in to take the object out, so that's a necessary damage. You have to break the window, there's no other way to get in. You can do that. If you cause excessive damage, then you'll have to pay for that excessive damage, and you won't have a way out of that. I'll just conclude with one sort of the Nesiva says, an example of when it's necessary, when it's not necessary to stop someone from stealing your object. He says an example would be, and this is when he answers a stira, if the person is stealing something movable like a watch, that's when you have to worry that you might not get it back. So that's where you're allowed to beat him up to stop him from taking your watch. But he says an interesting case. He says, suppose the person just comes into your house. So what's he going to do? Run away with your house? He's not going to run away with your house. You don't have to worry about that. So you might as well just go out and call the Din Torah, call the Dayanim, and let them come to take him out of your house, because you can't run away with your house. In that case, and the Siva says, that would be a case where you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands. You certainly can't beat him up. Your first instinct might want to be to beat someone up that's in your house and take a baseball bat, but that's what he says, you can't. Now, I don't think... Yeah, so even without that, I think the Nesivas is talking about our houses. We have a lot of movable objects, and when someone comes into your house, he's not trying to steal your house. He's trying to steal your money, or your cash, or your life, or your credit card. That's what he's trying to steal. He's not trying to steal the house. The Nesivas is talking where there's someone that is what's it called? He's trying to He's trying to take someone's property. He's trying to squatter. Right? He's trying to take squatter on someone's property and take it. That's what Nasiv is talking about. So there, he's sitting on your land, right? You have a vacant lot, and he decides to start sitting there. So you don't have to beat him up and get him off, because you might as well wait so it didn't tell her, and it's not causing any loss. You're not doing anything with the land anyway, unless you are. But if you're not doing anything, it's just sitting there. He's just trying to prove it's his by staying there, so then you prove it's yours. That's the Nasivus's way that he understands it. That's his example. We're talking about retaking Metatlin. What we're talking tonight, where he stole something that's movable, where he can just run away with it. That's where we said that you could take the law into your hands. And once again, even if you're not worried he's going to run away with it, even if it's not causing you a loss, you just don't want to have the inconvenience of going to a dintara. So in that case, you can still take the law into your own hands, even by force. Once again, not excessive force, only what's necessary to take it. And once again, it has to be an object that you can prove is yours, or if you can't prove it's yours, you find a way of taking it when no one's looking, and that way you can avoid that problem also. Next week, together, we'll talk about a case of loans. Someone owes you money and he hasn't paid you back. What can you do? What can you not do to try to retrieve your money?